And remember that whilst we're still arguing about that, let's get the presentation. And after we've received the presentation, we raise issues that we want to raise. And we are not going to, I think first, it's appropriate, MEC, to reflect that we have really been challenged, and you could see that we were a bit not settled. But we are here now, honourable members. Gauteng is in front of us. As we are discussing, we'll get the hard copies. Honourable Kopana.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I just received my email. Clearly, it's about 68 pages. And Chairperson, like I indicated before, as members of Parliament, one of our responsibility or to do oversight is to make sure that we have the right information so that we can engage with the department, because our aim is to assist them. But having said so, Chair, really, I think for me, this is to undermine our oversight responsibility, because it's not for the first time that Gauteng did this. And I'm just asking myself, if really Gauteng were making the preparation for the flights to come here, what are we going to do here if they knew that from Johannesburg they don't have we don't have the information? So how are they expecting us to do the oversight responsibility? If they manage to book the flight, they are here, but we never receive the information. I think it is unfair. Based on that, Chair, on behalf of the Democratic Alliance, unfortunately, we are not going to be part of this meeting.
Honourable Tembekwe.
Thank you, Chair. As I've mentioned before, the importance of the inclusion of the content advisors pertaining to the contents of the matter to be delivered or the report by the Gauteng, they are also not given a chance to can go through this, so their input is not taken into consideration. As EFF, obviously, I also concur with the DA to say we are not ready to continue with the presentation.
Okay. Honourable
Matthias. No, thanks. Well, unfortunately, we are engaging on this matter without having understood the reason from the province itself, to understand why they failed to submit a document on time, so that based on the presentation, why they failed to do that, we are then able then to discuss and take a particular position on the matter. Now we'll be discussing it just amongst ourselves, without having understood their side of the story. In terms of the law, that's how you work. It would have been good to have given them an opportunity to indicate to us the reason behind their failure to submit a document on time, so that we're able to prepare ourselves for a fruitful engagement with them. Because I don't think they also expect us to listen without constructively engaging them, and therefore for us to do that, I'm sure they will understand that we also need to prepare for that engagement after having received what they are going to be presenting to us, so that we are able to prepare and be able to constructively engage on the matter. But it might be necessary that you give them an opportunity, so that we first and foremost understand the reason behind their failure to provide us with a document on time, so that based on the presentation or the reasons behind their failure, we can then be able to take a particular position.
No, thank you, Honourable Mohlalela, for that. Honourable Members, can we allow Gauteng to, not taking us through the report, but to explain to us why we are in this challenge in terms of the document? Hand over to you.
Good afternoon, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. To indicate that I'm with the acting head of department and the chief finance officer for health in Gauteng. As MEC for health, I want to first start by extending my sincerest apology. And my understanding, or our understanding, was that our presentation is based on the annual performance plan that is already tabled, perhaps it has not arrived or it's not accessible to this parliament, but it's tabled at the provincial legislature, as well as the budget that is already tabled at the legislature as well. And we have also presented on the budget vote of the Gauteng provincial legislature. What we thought was that the slides that we'll present will be a summary, a high-level summary of the issues that were there. I'm not sure if we're supposed to also come with the APP, the budget that is tabled at the legislature and all that, maybe as those are also public documents that are available. But I think for the presentation itself, I would like to really sincerely apologize, because we did send earlier on today the presentation, and I think there was a miscommunication that that presentation can be produced for members, and we will highlight any additional slides for which information we were awaiting from our own researchers. So I think I really sincerely apologize for the presentation to come later. As well, but I would also wish to respectfully request that we take members through the presentation and we avail ourselves for engagement at a later stage. We'll avail ourselves to come back before this honourable committee. Thank you.
There is the explanation, honourable members.
Thank you, Chair. Have you listened to the MEC? My understanding was the invitation to the provinces to come, there was a letter that clearly stipulates how they must prepare, what information we want to hear. That was my understanding. But clearly, that is not the case the way the MEC is explaining. And at least, Chair, we are not such hard people. At least even less than four hours, even if we could have at least been given the opportunity to have a report. But I think it is unfair to come and do a presentation of so many pages, and then really we have to engage, like Mr. Mohlalela said. I don't think it is fair, Chairperson.
If you say you don't think it is fair, what then are you? I've noted you.
But Chair, we still say that we are going to leave the committee.
Thank you.
No, Chair. Our understanding is that is not. We have not requested the province to present the APP or the annual report. That's not. I don't think the invitation was saying that. And even in their own presentation, as I was just perusing through, there are specific items that we requested them to prepare on, not on the APP. They've done that. It means they understood what we wanted, not the APP MEC. Because if they didn't understood, they would have prepared the whole departmental issues, but they focus on the issues that they've requested, but highlighted on some of the things that they might have felt we need to know. But most of the things that they were raising in the in this presentation are items that we said we want to be presented, not the APP. Though there are areas that we'll have loved to present it better than it is now, as I look into it. I will not personally have a problem in them presenting and leave, present the document and then leave, and then give us an opportunity to go and look at the document. Then they come back for us then to have analyzed the presentation and the document, and then be able then to engage fruitfully and constructively later. As proposed by the MEC, I don't think that will be a problem for us to listen without us having to do anything about it for now. And then later we'll come back, then we have having prepared ourselves based on the presentation, and then we're able then to start engaging on the matter.
Thank you, honourable members. There's a proposal on the table that said let them take us through, and then they will leave. They leave, and then at a date and the day that they are to come back, it will be at the time that we will then engage with. So it's just listening to the presentation, and then after that we call it a day. What about my chef?
I agree with that, and I think it's for all to respect the have apologized for what they've done. And we are not going to engage them on the report. We will be having the report to peruse. They would have presented. Then next time we call them, it's just to interact with the report and them, and that's it.
Okay.
So all of us here, do have
what you do, because we are to wait for sound people, but will be sound and fish, but we'll be using our gadgets so long. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I would have thought you will first start with the normal in-house process. And then after the in-house process, then you can start the process.
No, thank you. The in-house processes, we are here, MEC, because we have requested provinces to come and take us through on the invitation did say, take us through the state of the of the health sector in the province, and we have received reports before from the AG, from the Office of the Health Standard Compliance. So we really want to have an understanding from the province. What we are also requesting in so doing is that hoping that you will reflect all the challenges, so that when we interact, having being you being open to us, because at the time that we are to come back, we are to engage on those issues. So that is where you are. You are the first Lord, the second that is here in terms of provinces. So we it's unfortunate that we started on a very difficult note. In terms of the introductions, I will start myself. Honourable members will introduce themselves using the mic, and everybody who's here will do that. I'm Lindelwa Tunjo. I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Health. Next to me is Machalamba Vuyokazi, who's the secretary of the committee. The lady who's distributing documents is Mbali, who is our committee assistant. At the back, just opposite me, it's Zubair, who is our researcher. At the back of yourselves, on the left-hand side, it's Ms. Mbali. I'm sorry, Landu, who is our media communication person in the committee. And next to her is Asanda, who is the researcher of the study group of the African National Congress. There's somebody right at the back, Noel Tando, who is the secretary to the study group of the African National Congress. I will hand over to members to introduce themselves. Then after that, it will be the department and other people that are around. Honourable members.
Edimela, na ki maisela waga maise ki loloko la komitie ki alevo.
Good afternoon. My name is Fish Masalela.
Good afternoon. My name is Mbulelo Ngonzo, a member of this committee. Thank you.
Afternoon. I'm Donald W.P. Mapama, a member of this committee. Thank you.
Afternoon. My name is Rachel Adams, member of the committee.
The department is here. The
afternoon, Chair, honorable members. My name is Kaisa Katama, Office of the Deputy Minister.
My name is Mina from PNG.
Good afternoon, I'm Tamar Khan from Business Day.
Good afternoon, I'm Gabriela Lesmenya, the Chief Financial Officer of the Gauteng Department of Health.
By the MEC for Health in Gauteng.
Good afternoon, Mkhululi Lukele, the Acting Head of Department, Gauteng.
All right, we had copies in front of us. We don't know who's going to lead the presentation, MEC. We'll hand over to you.
Honourable Member, Chair and Members, once more to put it on record that we profusely do apologize for the late submission of the document, and we thank you for the indulgence to present to take you through and avail ourselves for further engagement on the document. Maybe let me also indicate that this is high-level presentations on the issues that have been asked by the committee, and that the details in terms of the strategic framework, the budgets and all that is within the both the APP as well as the budgets that we have been given. We also have outlined a strategic framework from within the context within which we operate, where there are enablers, but also there are constraints. So I will be presenting the environment, the context first, and hand over to the acting HOD to take us through the details, and the CFO will also deal with the issue of finances, which are critical. On the first slide really deals with the socioeconomic determinants of health. The province is certainly having a high level of burden of disease, and but as well as other challenges, including finance. And what the slide tells us is that in the midterm, there was an objective assessment by independent panels, especially of experts and the academia. For this term, midway, there was an assessment of the performance of the whole of the Gauteng provincial government, including the Department of Health. And what came out clearly is that despite the challenges, life expectancy in Gauteng was on the increase. And this is mainly because of the success of the implementation of the control and management of HIV and AIDS. So we thought that that is an important issue to share with the committee. And on the slides, on the extreme on my right there, it indicates the burden of disease, the determined socioeconomic determinants of disease. We see that crime, drugs, unemployment are key determinants of ill health, and therefore we will need to work with other sectors to deal with the underlying causes of the high burden of disease. Members will also see in the later presentation that our casualties are really overburdened, especially month-end or mid-month, as some of members of society who are employed, and mid-month, that crime contributes significantly to interpersonal violence as well as accidents. And we see it in our casualties, which are overflowing mid-month and also end of the month. And the second, drugs, contributing quite heavily on adolescents' morbidity and mortality, meaning disease, and also contributions to death. And with our medical wards overflowing with mental health users for acute care in terms of drugs, young people. Unemployment, poverty, also presenting a significant burden on the burden of disease. The next reflections, what we would like to share with the committee, is really on the life as it diminishes, some of the lessons that we are taking from life as it diminishes, which is one of the major tragedy, if not singular tragedy, that has happened in the health system. Post the democratic era, we felt that there has to be life before and after life as demene. That defines how we do things differently, how we determine risks, and how we respond in a manner that no program, because this was an initiative, a project of the health mental health program, but it has affected the reputation of the whole of the health system, and also defining the relationship between different offices. Without going into much details, I'll just reflect on some of the lessons. Firstly, it is the realistic pricing of mental health care users, the care for them, and the amount paid to NGOs, that it needs to be reasonable in relation to patient care so as not to compromise quality of care, that the risk assessment and thorough checking of NGOs' capacity for licensing, type, number, and patients that they can safely care for, because other NGOs were licensed for geriatric care without mental illness, and that the licensing framework has now taken into consideration the specifics. Adequate staffing, policy decision needs to be widely shared. Technical and clinical expertise must be used when needed to ensure patient safety. In this case, there was an opportunity, there were lots of specialists that could have worked together with the program and project manager, and that opportunity was not utilized. The issue of technical and clinical experts is key. We also say that we need to monitor and support NGOs to meet minimum requirements. With a new license, there are quite a number of NGOs that we have licensed temporarily whilst they work towards meeting the new national regulatory framework. And some we've had to relocate patients and close them down where the requirements that were not met were a risk directly to patients. We also needed to ensure that mental health review boards function as designated by legislation so that the department is accountable. In this case, the health ombud indicated that there was undermining of good governance as the mental health review board reported to a director who they were supposed to oversee. And that's why they couldn't execute their responsibilities in the best interest of patients. That we needed to monitor and ensure cost standards are complied with and maintained. We have also strengthened those systems and ensuring that NGOs meet the requirements, including those of municipal bylaws and so forth, and that there should be structured consultation between the department and NGOs in order to avoid communication breakdown. And this also includes the families. I must share with the committee that on reflections jointly with the Provincial Health Forum, which is a stakeholder forum, there is a definite proposal that we must include family committees in situations where mental health users are either involuntary or dependent. Depending on severity. So this is a process that we are instituting. I also would like to present the issue of external pressures to the department. Firstly, that Gauteng has the largest population of all the provinces in Gauteng. And coming back into the province for the second time, in 1998, when I was MEC for Health, the population was around 7 million, and now it is double. So the challenges indeed are double, although the budget has increased. We also believe it hasn't increased to meet this population growth, and the equitable share also has not adjusted to meet the movement of people from other provinces into Gauteng. And I actually believe that the NHI dispensation will assist, because the patient, like with SASA, will move with their budget wherever they move in the country. So it actually suggests that we must move faster towards the NHI dispensation, where South Africans, wherever you are, the budget of the country moves with you for health. We also experience the highest rates of migration and urbanization in the country, with high cross-border and cross-boundary population mobility. And we've also increased, the mid-year Estimates for 2017 show that the inflow of patients was more than 1.5 million into Gauteng, followed by Western Cape, which is less than half of that. So it is quite a huge burden as such. Apologize, wanted to go back. Can you go back? The other issue that we're raising there is the demand for public health services based on the 2015 Gauteng City Region Academy study on quality of life in Gauteng, that there's 5% increase in the percentage of the population that is reliant on the public health system between 2008 and 2015. And we believe that this is also because of increase in quality of care and continuity. Because when even the working population uses private health services, many of their benefits are exhausted by around October. So continuity of services is more reliable in the public sector. But also the economic situation, there is a slide that will show that the economic situation has resulted in less population, percentage of population covered by the medical aid. We also highlight the issue of the NHI to deal with economic inefficiencies. This slide is a very important slide that says that the risks are not only in the Gauteng Department of Health, as a province, but Gauteng is most affected. This is a slide of a 10 by 10 meeting that was held last year that were assessing the cash situation of the various provinces. And you can see that Gauteng was most affected, that by mid-year in September, the Gauteng was estimated to have to experience cash depletion. And this is one of the slides that actually says that even though the budgets are given, the availability of cash is not always aligned. And Professor Lukele and his team also highlighted the need to align budget and cash so that there's continuity of services and reduction of build-up of accruals. So this slide actually says from September until the end of the financial year, which is in March the following year, the department would then be passing the risk of the cost of services to service providers, and that's when the accrual builds up. And then the following year, at the beginning of the year, we first pay what we used to buy medicines, food, and whatever else for the patient before we use that money. And then again with this phenomenon. So our major priority, main focus, is to intercept the cycle of cash depletion. A very difficult task, but you can see that none of the provinces, including even the Western Cape and the Mpumalanga, which were a bit better, had cash projection until the end of the financial year, although Gauteng was most affected, followed by Northern Cape, Eastern Cape, and Limpopo. The next slide really tells us about, you don't have it in a bar chart, but it is here presented in a bar chart. The accrual. You can see that the accruals have been building up 2 billion every year since 2014-15. So it has been two billion shortfall every year. So it was expected to be at about eight to nine billion in the year 2017-18. But because of the interventions that we put in place and mainly prioritizing frontline services, pushing a number of staff that was in head office to the front line, to hospitals and all that, you can see that it is stabilizing. We are stabilizing the accruals. There's a slight decrease, but it is against the 2 billion deficit that was supposed to have been there. And I must also acknowledge the role as well of the appointment of the intervention task team, which was appointed at my request by myself and with the support of the Minister and the Premier. They have really assisted, as well as towards the end of the financial year, the role played by the new Chief Finance Officer. The next slide really talks about our recovery plan as a department. You can see that we are dealing with the I see that it is not in your packs, but that's what we are focusing on. The issues of the burden of disease, because we believe that with the burden of disease, it is not possible. The current burden of disease, it is really not possible for any budget to carry this burden. From my background as a public health specialist, we have an equivalent of about 10 epidemics at once. These include HIV and AIDS as one, TB as the second one, maternal and neonatal health as the second, children's health in particular as another one. Diabetes standalone is also a huge burden, hypertension and mental health, interpersonal violence, as well as motor vehicle accidents and cancer that the President highlighted in his State of the Nation address. So we do have, here I'm just highlighting that we do have a recovery plan within which we are working. I will then just go to the slide that just one, just two more slides before I hand over to the acting HOD. This slide talks about that burden of disease that I've referred to, which has been confirmed by Stats SA as the leading causes of death, and you can also see that the burden in Gauteng is quite significant of these leading causes of death, mainly as a result of socioeconomic determinants of disease. The next slide talks more, which is slide 15 in your document, talks about the impact of inequality as well. You can see that I'm referring again to the Gauteng City Region Observatory research that there was a 5% increase that I mentioned earlier. We also look at how many patients use what different types of health facilities, and that whilst Gauteng has the highest number in the country of people who are having medical aid, but according to the report of the Council for Medical Schemes, these numbers are declining. And this does not cater for the intermittent fallout of the medical scheme utilization into the public health sector. This is just the absolute numbers of lives covered that it is going down. I think this is the last slide I wanted to share with you before I give over to Professor Lukele, who is the acting HOG. And I must indicate that he was the convener of the interim task team that also included other experts who have a vast experience in the health system that advised have been with us over the past 6 months to help us, develop the recovery plan, both of the health system, but also on the issues of mental health post-life as a demand.
I thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members, and thank you, MEC. As I've introduced myself, I'm the Acting Head of Department, and I want to share with the members what we found as, before or at the time of life as Edmeng, that there was weak leadership issues with governance and organization systems, and the presence of instability due to the high turnover of leadership. Gauteng Department has had a number of MECs and HODs and senior managers in a short space of time, and that is a challenge on its own in terms of continuity. And we also found inequitable and gross underfunding, which has resulted to precarious position of the department with an increase of accrual, as it has been reflected by the MECs. But one of the biggest problems was the rise in medical litigation, which has threatened the health system in Gauteng. And also there was ineffective decentralization because of the threat and financial. There was this response to centralize everything, which led to underperforming of the system. And also the other problems is the fragmentation and the uneven application of clinical protocols and the governance, leading to a lot of variabilities with one facility doing the same thing differently to the other. And the suboptimal involvement of the community, namely the patients and the families, in the provision of the health system. One of the biggest problems is actually the poor labor relationship, which was there. And for that reason, part of the intervention was to refocus the department into a better relationship with the labor, to the extent that about 4 weeks ago we had a labor summit as a process of building this relationship and the working together. Honorable members, these are the risk factors which the department is facing, the top 10, top 20. And you'll notice that the first one is the quality of service provided to mental health care patients is high, and also the infant maternal and the maternal and infant morbidity and mortality is high risk. And fortunately, we seem to be clawing in on the HIV and the TB, but it's still one of the top risk factors. Primary health care engineering is also one of the challenges which Gauteng faces. Gauteng is doctor-centric, and most of the residential areas have got GP practice, and we still have to work on the community to start at the primary healthcare facilities. One of the issues which I problem is the serious adverse events at our facilities, and we've identified that and we're working on that. And the referral system has been identified as a risk factor. Shortage of pharmaceutical supplies initially has been a problem, but we are clawing back on that. The biggest challenge is the aging infrastructure and health technology, and being constrained by the financial resources. And then things which could be managed, like adherence to prescripts and lack of standardization of information, and delays in payment of suppliers within the 30 days, as it is expected, is a big challenge because of the financial constraint, which is clawed in by the accruals. Inadequate human capital management is an issue. We've inherited people who are not maybe well placed. That's an issue. Inability for supply chain to manage and support the quality of healthcare is an issue, and we've identified that, and we are clawing in on that. Financial losses of litigation, as I've indicated, is a problem. We have achieved in terms of revenue collection. Actually, we are second at the province, and we've or surpassed the expected revenue collection which has been given to us as a target. But we aim to even improve more on that. Fraud and corruption is still high on the radar, which emanates from the inefficiency of supply chain and so on, and we are clawing that. And that fraud of corruption also can be looked at as part of the contributions to medico-legal increase. And fruitless and wasted expenditure has been one of the risk factors, and irregular expenditure, one of the risk factors, and the CFO will indicate the parameters which we, with the measures which we are taking to address those issues. I will go to the next slide, taking that members have gone through. Sorry, this slide MEC has already spoken to. Yeah, even this one. This slide will be addressed by the CFO. What this slide indicates is that there is an increased per capita spending for the patients, which we would want to also concentrate on going forward. This is to demonstrate that the compensation towards employee is crowding the financials for goods and services. This is an increase of compensation to employer, which is gradually crowding the budget for goods and services. And this is the high risk which we're talking about, and we are hearing to manage. Also, this is to demonstrate the fact that we are very much concentrating on NHI, and the spend at provincial and central hospitals is decreasing while we are increasing the spend at district health services. Unfortunately, we have quite robust ideal clinics. Actually, we're highest in the country. The challenge is the utilization of those clinics, which I've alluded to earlier, being doctor-centric, but we are concentrating on that. The other challenge with regards to primary healthcare utilization is the high cost as compared to other provinces, and we are looking for that and ensuring that we don't have most of the costs are related to cost of employer trying to shift more towards the nurse-orientated services. The biggest overspend is around our central hospitals. Gauteng, small as it is, has got 4 central hospitals and 3 universities. And that leads to the increase in the budget consumption as it is shown here. There is also an increase in the budget to district services as indicated earlier. The other challenge is the source of funds. The grant funds have been diminishing, and that means that we have to increase sources from the equitable share to meet our mandate of providing services. And there is also demonstration of the grant fund, how it is utilized and how it has dropped at the province. The falling of the revenue is also not helpful, as demonstrated in this slide, which is now 1.8% of share of total spending. I think we've gone through this risk dashboard. And what about primary health care headcount? There is an increase, although it's not utilized, but there is an increase of the primary health care headcount if you look at 16-17 compared to 17-18. It's about 20,000. And also, just if you compare month to month, in April, 2017 and in April 2018, there's a dramatic increase of the utilization of primary healthcare. Similarly, with outpatients, if you look month to month, there is a dramatic increase. In fact, this slide demonstrates the demands which we have at Gauteng. One of the highlights of Gauteng is that it has got the largest number of ideal clinics in the whole country, and this demonstrates that while we have those challenges, there has been an increase in the care of our people at the primary health care level. The one other issue which we concentrate on is complaints management. While we haven't met the target, but we could see that there is an increase towards meeting the target. But what is important is that those which have been identified are now resolved within 25 days, as you can see in this slide. Similarly, at tertiary hospitals, we are experiencing the same in terms of the resolutions of complaints. The emergency medical services have improved. If you compare 2016 to 2017, we are close to meeting the target. Certainly with P1, we are at 100% up to target. And with inter-facility transfer, we have improved if we compare to the previous year in this slide. One of the challenges is the TB default rate. We still have a high default rate, mainly at two districts, Sidibeng and Tshwane, and we think this is due to the mobileness of the community being migrant laborers and also changing jobs and changing residents, which is a problem. But we are looking at that, and we've sent people to be trained in finding a tool to track TB defaulters. What about medicines? In medicines, actually, we were doing well in terms of meeting the target of 98. However, there was a slight dip in that target, and this is related to some of the suppliers who are on contracts not being able to provide the medication. But this also doesn't mean that patients that do not get that medication. It means that we then have to get alternative requests for quotation, which then also erodes into our budget. So while we haven't met they may not be on stock, the patients still get treatment, except that it's at a higher than we expect. What about ICT project status? The department is working together with the province, eGov and Treasury and National Department in addressing issues of ICT. The Gauteng department has approved this e-health structure where it will help us at service phase where we've got the at service phase, and also we hope it will also help us at management phase, and we also will have a repository where we'll be able to analyze and retrieve issues. I'm going to go into details on these issues. So this is the overview of the projects. We are looking at the health information system, which we are already are advertising to get the various modes of health information system. And information system integration, we also are working with CITA in that regard. We are looking at the repository, and we also have requested information from supply chain to give us. We have piloted a business intelligence tool at one of our facilities, mainly at one of the tertiary hospitals and also in the finance department, which seem to be working well. Infrastructure upgrading, we've also requested response proposal so that we can be looking at that. We have implemented the health patient registration system. We are riding on the NHI, which is there at the ideal clinics, and we are also extending it to our hospitals. We have the PEC system, which has shown to be very helpful, especially at our
central hospitals, and we plan to be rolling out in the near future. We also had a question of V-block, but we are now working with the Gauteng province, because Gauteng province can be able to accommodate us as a repository tool on that. We also have got a medical supply depot solution replacement, which is doing well, and we're working with CETA. So, honorable members, those slides demonstrate all the other efforts we are doing in terms of ICT projects, up to the number 14 in terms of the projects. I must say that one of the challenges in rolling out the ICT is budgetary constraints. We would like to be faster in terms of getting into the next phase. What about infrastructure project? Before I go on, I must say when the ITT came, they prioritized, as MEC has indicated, finances towards the front line on the basis that if we hadn't done that, it is one of the reasons why the accruals went down. If we hadn't done that and placed things on infrastructure and project, we would not be where we are. For that reason, one of the strategies to improve the financial health system of the province was to hold on new projects for the next 2 years and then maintain what we have. However, I would like to report that despite that, we have some projects which have been completed as indicated there. The Tswane districts, the wards, the various hospitals, and there are some new projects which are under construction. And we have the slides which shows our priority. You could realize that most of our priorities are based towards improving primary engineering our primary health care while maintaining our hospitals. We have the aim of ensuring that all our hospitals are upgraded to a level 3 for occupational health and safety and better service. And these are the risks and mitigations, the aging infrastructure, the lengthy approval of processes in the aging infrastructure, the wasteful and fruitful expenditure, and the projects taking long. We are having a close engagement with the Department of Infrastructure and Development while we're also increasing our own Department of Infrastructure and also working with DBSA to address these challenges. The other question which wanted to be asked was the laundry services. We've got 5 laundry services at Gauteng. Some of them are based at our hospitals, they supply all the facilities. The DID department is currently the one who's assisting us in maintaining these facilities. There has been a finding that the machinery at the laundries are aging and they're not maximally operating as they should be. And this is under our radar, and we're working on that to improve from this 52% efficiency to higher in supplying the laundry. I will ask the CFO to take us through the financial aspect.
Thank you, Acting HMT. Good afternoon, honorable members. I will quickly take you through our presentation on financial management and perhaps the strengthening of the financial management systems that we have put in place in the department. So the first slide that I will speak to is on accrued liabilities, which is accruals. I think almost the MEC did touch a little bit on accruals, and I think everybody that knows anything about the Department of Health in Gauteng is that the main issue has been that of ballooning accruals, which therefore means that at some level, patient care is then put at risk. So what this slide shows, or perhaps I can just go back to the slide that was showed earlier by the MEC, because I think that slide tells a very promising story, which says that the hemorrhaging in the Department of Health is being arrested, because in the for the past 2 years, it's a bit far. I think in the past 3 years or so, accruals have been growing about 2 billion rand a year. It's here, yes. Accruals have been growing about 2 billion rands a year. It was 1.8 billion in 2014-2015. It was 4 billion the following year. And the year thereafter, which is the recent previous financial year, 2016-2017, it was almost 7 billion. You can't see.
Okay. I can zoom it in.
So there we are. So in 2014-2015, it was 1.8 billion. In 2015-2016, accruals were 4.1 billion. In 2016-2017, accruals were almost 7 billion rand. And what this means is that this is money that we are spending but which we don't have, which therefore means that if the next budget comes, for example, in this current financial year, our budget is 46 billion rand. But if we've got accruals of 6.7 billion rand, then it means we are worse off by that much. But fortunately, with the new team, we are working on addressing accruals, and we are ensuring that the current year budget is ring fenced to current year goods and to current year expenditure, so that we don't. Page 8. Okay, it is also on page 8 of the slides that have been printed out to the honourable members. We are also ensuring that these accruals that have been building up do not then affect patient care in this new financial year. And I'm saying, honourable members, that I believe that it's a huge achievement for the department to really be in a position to arrest the growth of accruals. And it's because of the hard work that has been done by the department. So I will then move again to my original slides. All right. So what we have here is how we have spent, and I can see the limitations of the slides, but that the font is really small, and I can't really zoom in here. Perhaps I can. It's page 48.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. So maybe I can also just zoom in. So what this says, honourable members, is that when I zoom in, therefore we can't see the whole slide. However, what this slide says, and remember that we report on cash on cash-based system, right? So we don't report using your accrual basis, which is what we use everywhere else. So this mainly speaks to the cash that has been paid in the first month of the financial year. What was paid in the first month of the financial year is, let's see, it is 9%. However, this includes the accruals that we also have paid for. The Gauteng Provincial Treasury had given us, based on the recommendations of the ITT, they have given us 1.5 billion rands to try and settle accruals. So as we are talking, we have a plan with all our major suppliers. I will speak later to how we have tried to settle accruals, i.e., we have paid all the suppliers that we owed below 10 million rands. We've paid them off, and the main reason for that is that we're focusing on paying off your small, medium, and micro enterprises, and focusing also on your black-owned businesses or your black women-owned businesses and your township businesses, simply because we know that with those suppliers, if you don't pay them, then it therefore puts the department even at risk, because they can then not secure the products or the services that they then provide to the department. And then what we further had was engagement with all our bigger suppliers, which are about 39. There's about 39 of them, and we have payment plans, so we are going to pay them over a period of 3 years, which is about 24 months, but that 24 months is in a period of 3 financial years. And the provincial treasury overall has given us 4.8 billion to try and settle accruals. It's not the engagements are not easy, and again, it's not easy because some of them are still demanding some payments. But we are managing that. So this mainly speaks to the payment that we have made for accruals. All right. So this mainly speaks to the cash payments that have been made in the department. We have made it, how we account using our accounting framework is that you have a target of 8.3% cash utilization per month, and that is 1 over 12. That is 1 over 12, which means that over a period of 12 months, you then are expected to have used up all your cash, right? So this also is just an indicator of whether you're underperforming, you're underspending, or you're overspending. So here we overspent. The target should have been 8.3%, which is 1 over 12. However, we spent a little bit more, 9%. However, that 9% is because of the accruals payment that we also made. We made the accruals payment we made in April and partly in May because of there was a glitch in the system and there was a whole lot of them. So we paid end of April and also towards May. However, if you exclude accruals, then you will see. Let me zoom in. Okay. If you exclude accruals, then you will see that our cash payment was actually 6%, right? Which means that the cash that we utilized as a department was only 6% out of the 8.3% that is supposed to be the target. And this, to some extent, speaks to the controls that we are putting in place to manage our spending as a department. Because again, as I've said, that this is based on the cash that we have paid and on the cash modified system that is being used by the provincial government, which is not the best, because then it doesn't show you, if you have cash that you have paid, it doesn't tell you about the commitment that you have created. It doesn't tell you about the invoices that are still in the work cycle, which may then eat up a lot of your cash going forward, which may also lead up to the creation of accruals, which may also lead up to the creation of accruals. So, and there is a financial tool that we are also there's a financial intelligence tool that we are creating. Actually, we are implementing it this month, and that tool will ensure that what we report is what has been incurred during the month versus the cash availability that we have as a department. Okay. So I think I've gone a little bit into detail there, but perhaps it was important to explain that. And basically all the slide is mainly on how we have utilized our cash. So there, overall we have spent 6%, and there has been projected overspending here and there. We are managing all of this. In central hospitals, there is how we have spent our cash, and in tertiary hospitals. And these central hospitals and tertiary hospitals are the main budget consumers. They are in Program 5, and they consume a lot of our resources. But the spending has not been as exorbitant as it has been in the previous financial years. Okay. So accruals. These are our accruals as at end of April, 3.5 billion, and I think I have spoken in detail about how we are dealing with accruals going forward. This slide is also a very important slide, honourable members. Part of the engagements that we have been having with our suppliers and part of the recommendations by the ITT has been that, one, we must ring fence the current year budget to current year needs. Right, which means we cannot pay for accruals in the current within the current year budget, because that will take us back to where we come from. So part of that was that we must then be able to pay within 30 days of receipt of invoice, which is what the PFMA requires of us. And it assists us as well in terms of moving, taking a step in terms of achieving a clean audit. So in the first quarter, in the first month, we were able to achieve 100% compliance in terms of paying our invoices within 30 days. However, if you look in this slide here on my left, if you then include accruals, then the percentages goes very down, which then gives us 15%. Okay, and then on my right, okay, that's the payment proposal. I think I will skip through that one. The next important slide, honourable members, is the medical legal slide. I think it has been touched. It was touched earlier on by the acting HOD to say that one of our key risks in the department is the increase in increase in medical legal claims. So if you look what we have paid, I can't see the slide, but what we have paid so far in medical legal claims in this current financial year, it is 125 million rands. And that is money that could have gone to goods and services had we not had a medical legal claim. But also there are various mechanisms that have been put in place to try and address how we can deal with medical legal claims, because the MEC has been very adamant in saying that we cannot pay, we cannot disadvantage patients because we are paying medical legal claims. Another mechanism has got to be found in terms of how we address medical legal claims, such that we then do not take money away from goods and services. I spoke earlier to our accruals plan in terms of how we, the engagements with the suppliers that we had, and how we settled the accruals that we had as at the beginning of the financial year. Suppliers owed under 10 million rands, they were all paid off. However, I must mention, because perhaps honourable members may hear in the news that perhaps there may be some suppliers who were below 10 million rands who were not paid off. So a decision that was made by the department was that suppliers that we owed anything less than 10 million rands as at the 31st of March must be paid off, and those were all settled. However, as I've alluded earlier to saying that we have issues with, you see, this is how accruals are built, are made up of, right? So in this, you have work cycle, touched work cycle, untouched work cycle. So that means you've got invoices that you have received, but you have not been able to match these invoices either to goods received notes or to purchase orders. So you can't pay these invoices. So there is a few of those. However, we are also dealing with them. So with our bigger suppliers, those that were owed between 10 million rands and 50 million rands, we paid them. We will pay them off in 12 months. That 12 months stretches over two financial years for us. So we pay them 50% as at May 2018, and we'll pay them again another 50% in April, 2018 next year. Suppliers over that we owed over 50 million rands, those are our big supplier, bigger suppliers. I think there's about 39 of them. We pay them 30%, in May 2018, and we'll pay them again another 30% in May or April 2019, and that other year, in the 24th month, we'll then pay them the balance. However, if there are any savings that are realized within the budget, or if there are any resources that then become available, perhaps from Treasury or somewhere else, we will pay them off sooner. But for now, that is the arrangement that we have with our suppliers. Okay. So this slide speaks to the improvements that have been made in the financial systems. Okay, so the first major improvement that we are making is in the acquisition and contract management. So we have reviewed the system or the manner in which the department acquires goods and services, and we are systematically doing away or converting all goods and services, mainly
we depend on request for quotation, right? So that means that you, before you buy bread or whatever else that you are going to acquire, you then request for 3 quotations, right? We have determined that there is a lot of wastage in that, because for bread, for example, you can get quotation for 30 rand, 40 rand, and 50 rand, and the cheapest one is 30 rand, but do you really get bread for 30 rand? No, that is wastage. So we are also in the department coming up with a method of how we can standardize prices to say, for bread in the entire province, this is how much we are willing to pay and nothing more. And we are also putting all of those items that we are currently procuring on RFQs on contract, because we then believe that when you are on contract, you are able to manage your prices much, much better, and it leads to a lot of cost savings.
Okay.
So I will also just jump to irregular expenditure. That is, we are doing a lot of work in terms of curbing irregular expenditure, making sure that our contract management processes are much more stringent, and contract management in terms of how we handle, Prof, I'm running out of English, in terms of how we deal with our contracts. Contract management, sorry. Thank you, MEC. That's the word that just ran out of my mind. Okay. So in terms of contract management, we are putting much more stringent processes and procedures in place to ensure that we don't continue to incur irregular expenditures, because some of these irregular expenditures are because of the month-to-month contracts, where you find that a contract has expired, but we don't have a replacement contract in place. Therefore, we extend, we go on a month-to-month contract. Sometimes those contracts are not cost efficient, so we are doing a lot of work there. There actually is a team, a committed team, that is looking specifically into irregular expenditure with our partners, FICA. They are looking into this and in ensuring that going forward we reduce irregular expenditure. And then again, this will also assist us in terms of moving forward in terms of taking a step further to achieving a clean audit. Inventory management, we are also doing a lot of work there. There's a lot of work that we are doing in terms of managing and controlling our demand plans. And one of the major controls that we have put in terms of inventory management is that if an item is not on the demand plan, then it will not be bought. It will not be procured. And that also assists us in terms of managing costs.
Okay.
So there's compliance with 30 days. I've spoken to that, and the fact that in April we have achieved 100% in terms of compliance. We are also building a very strong accountability framework in terms of ensuring that there is accountability from institutions for whatever expenditure that has been incurred. So the financial intelligence reporting tool that I spoke about that we are currently implementing, it is also just assisting us in ensuring that we hold institutions accountable for what they have spent versus their budget. And I think part of the recommendations that came out of the ICT is that we have to implement an ironclad approach. An ironclad approach says that you cannot spend more than what you have. If you spend more than what you have, then it's a cardinal sin, it's something that cannot be done. Cost containment, there are a lot of targeted projects that we are implement or that have been implemented or that are underway to contain costs. One of those is in communications, there's lab and blood services, and in G-Fleet, linen and laundry and municipal services as well. All right. So I will then move on to the overview of healthcare waste management system. Actually, I would like to impress upon the members that in Gauteng, we are the leading province in terms of performance and compliance to legislation in terms of managing healthcare waste. Right. And how we manage this in the department is that the service is outsourced. It is outsourced to 3 companies, Butler Waste, Compass, and Siani Waste. And what is also important to us in the department is that the resources that we spend, we have billions of rands that we spend on goods and services. It's important that those resources are spent in an equitable manner. So I'm proud to present that Buhle Waste, out of the three companies that we deal with, which we spend around 91 million rands per annum on, Buhle Waste is a black-owned company. Siyane Waste is also an SMME company that we are working with to grow them. But the service delivery level at this point in time has been impressive on all the companies. So the department spends about 91 million rand, I have already stated that, per annum on healthcare waste management, for on waste management, okay? And then we generate about 4.7 kg per annum, okay? So all collected waste is removed off-site and treated at a private approved treatment plants, and all facilities have authorized and legally mandated healthcare waste officers. And then in human resources, I will hand back to the HOD, but I would just like to speak to a few items, because human resources, you have what you call the salary bill, the COE, cost of employee, and that eats up a lot of our budget of about 46 billion rand. So there, we spend about, okay, so let's see. So there, we spend about 60%, I think for this budget, 57.5%, which is 26 billion rands, which is allocated to COE. However, if things continue as they have always done in the past, we will end up spending more than 60%. And that is because of primarily because of the wage shock and employment surge. So this is the work that was done by the ITT, which just shows how the wage shock then affected or impacted on the department. Okay, so it was because of the implementation of the OSD and the generous above inflation wage settlements over the last decade. Over the last decade, that has seen a wage shock in the health sector. So, if honourable members look at this graph on my right, you will see that the growth of employment and remuneration was actually okay up until here in 2010-2011, and this is where the OSD was implemented, and all of a sudden the wage shock, the wage bill increased by that much, and that was also followed by the increase, as honourable members can see here on my bottom left, bottom right, that the head count has also been consistently growing in the health department in Gauteng, and that has not assisted. Because what then has happened, okay, so we say here, over the last decade, the cost of employee has increased by an average of 10.6%. And headcount has also increased. Let's see. Okay, so it's not moving there. Right. But ultimately, headcount has also increased, and the department has employed an extra 25,000 employees over the decade. And what this has done, okay, so let me see if I can project this, because this slide is very important, but it is not appearing here. Yeah, it's fine. So basically what has happened, honorable members, is that because of this increase in the wage shock and in the headcount of the department, you therefore found a situation where money was taken away from goods and services to fund cost of employees. Actually, in last year alone, after the medium term adjustment budget, about 1.1 billion rand was taken away from goods and services to go and fund COE. So COE, it is indeed a bane of our existence at the Department of Health, but we are indeed dealing with it. Okay, so Acting Ashoti, you can take over.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members, and thank you very much, CFO. just to continue. There are other aspects which fall under the CFO's office before I continue on the human resource. I want to point out on the irregular expenditure. Not only have we identified them, but we also are investigating so that we have consequential management approach such that it never happens, and want to to follow that up. Also, the other factor which falls under the CFO's scheme is the acquisition of equipment. We realize that there has been a slow purchase of equipment previously, and that was due to the bidding adjudication committee not sitting regularly and finding that there's a budget which is then only activated in the towards the end of the year. So that we are addressing as well. And the other aspect which falls under the CFO's ambit is that one of security. Why does it fall under the CFO? It's because at the moment the department is using contracts to its outsourcing security. But we are having problems with that system in the sense that we pay the company and the company doesn't pay the employees. And then the employees use our system to fight to fight their employer. So there is a move to consider insourcing security, but then we're also going out to do a security analysis on all our facilities in that aspect. Going on again on human resources, the overtime is a big problem. And because of the four central hospitals, which I spoke about, they are the cost drivers, and we are looking at managing that aspect. The other problem with human resources is the sharing of the healthcare workers with the universities. And we have then engaged again with the universities to see how they can contribute in the sharing of the resources. And the major sharing of the resources is actually cost to employer, because the consultants would spend from 20 to 40 up to 60% of their time with university issues and not necessarily with service issues, but that is an engagement. We also are aware one of the problems which was found by the interventional task team is a bloated central office, and for that reason a transitional structure which aims to send people into the front line is in place. We have challenges in terms of complying with the appointment of women in positions, people with disabilities, and those are basically related to the job at hand and the department, but we are working on that, and we have improved, in fact, on that score. And I did mention the relationship with the unions, and they were working hard in that regard. And we are also ensuring that there is appointments of people on permanent basis and decreasing the acting positions. One of our challenges, as you would have heard and seen in the media, was that of the performance management PMDS system incentive. Because of financial constraint, there was a decision not to pay a delay, but that decision has been reversed, and we have engaged the unions, and currently we've solved that, and we've just had a positive agreement on how that could be paid with them, and we should be signing very soon. I just want to just demonstrate what we're doing with the district health system. I know it's a repetition. We've got about 372 facilities in the district health system. One of the challenges which was mentioned by the MEC was the fact that there are two portfolios, the local and provincial, and that sometimes gets to be a challenge in terms of the meeting the plans which were the our APPs. But we are having regular provincial health council meetings to address those issues. We have 30 clinics which are providing 24-hour service, and this year we want to increase that to 33, and we hope this will also decrease the influx of
level 1 and 2 patients into going into our central hospitals. We also are working with the ward-based outreach teams, and we've got close to 6,000 of them, and they are deployed in all the provinces with most of the wards being covered and with trained leaders in those systems, and we are benefiting quite a lot of from this relationship. This has been shown before, just to show that we are increasing our budget towards the district health services. And one of the challenges which we face was the community health workers. We are paying them through a smart pass system because of the efficiencies, and also, unfortunately, we were expected to absorb them, but with the financial constraints and the cost of our employer, this is a challenge. But we have regular meetings with them and interacting with them, and because from WHO, these are the cornerstones of the health system. We have also improved our governance and leadership, starting from a head office and also at the facilities, by doing delegations of duties. So each facilities and COOs are given delegations to manage finance, human resources, supply chain, clinical governance, communication, and quality and infrastructure. This is much easier in the sense that if you push it towards a central head office, you don't get accountability. But if you give a budget, as CFO is saying, an ironclad budget to say, here is your money, manage this process. And this was initiated by MEC in the last financial year, and it has worked well, and we want to continue with it. The other thing in governance is involving the clinic committees, and several meetings have been held with them, and there is robust engagement, and we hope that this approach of involving the patients and the community will assist in providing of the district health services. We have looking at decentralizing through the 5 districts, and we have a phase 1 model which we are looking at, so that each district is able to handle its own delegations, and the head office job is just to monitor efficiencies and call out those who maybe are underperforming or are at risk. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and also appreciating the support from the Acting HOD and the CFO. I just want to conclude by saying that the key issue is the 6 priorities that are on page, on page 9 of the document. That guides us as a recovery plan. The issue of governance and stewardship, very, very key in the health system. The issue of performance system, both in terms of inputs, outputs, as well as impact, and also modernizations. We've talked about the ICT and e-health, very critical. Members may be aware that we also introduced a ATM-like a pharmacy dispensing system on page 9, first page, and entrenching prudent financial discipline. Many people say that we are focusing on finances and not on quality. But if we don't focus on finances, we have seen that the health system can collapse on us. The lack of focus by everybody on finances available and ensuring accountability of every cent being a life-saving resource can actually lead to the collapse of the health system. So that is the third area. The fourth area is our people, the human resources. And we have more than 67,000 to 68,000personnel. And I would also like to make it clear that we don't have a moratorium on the filling of posts. what the message that we're giving is that we will prioritize critical posts. We're also monitoring very closely the issue of absenteeism and all that. And last but not least, the issue of clinical governance, for which we're all about. I'd also like to just indicate that in terms of paying for performance bonuses, we've made it clear to our health workers that we're not responding to the vandalism that has happened. Actually, those that vandalized, especially Charles Makleke and the other hospitals, were really taking advantage because they knew that on the 1st of June we had a scheduled meeting, which had, amongst others, the performance of the bonus as a key agenda item. And this we do because the majority of our health workers are really patient-centered, and they have done us proud. They have looked after more than 20 million patient visits that for the year. And we believe that those that have performed above the average, which is at 4 and 5, surely deserve recognition and encouragement. Also given sometimes the conditions of high patient loads that they work under. In Gauteng, every employee of all other departments who are deserving did get their bonuses, and it was difficult for us to justify why those who did well in saving lives would not also deserve bonuses as we prioritize the many budget pressures. And I must also indicate that we really encourage that many of our health workers, even during the vandalism, protected patients against the small mob that was terrorizing health workers and the rest of our patients. So they are our heroes and heroines. And for those that have gone beyond the average, we believe that, like any other, if they have, they can just the minimum we can give can encourage them further. And some of the health workers did get also the Premier's Excellence Award, just to show that objectively they are those that are really making us proud. I also would like to also indicate that we're not complaining and quarreling over the introduction of OSD, which is occupation specific dispensation in terms of the wage shock, but the goods and services budget did not also keep up. We didn't have the equivalent increases. The overall budget didn't cater for it, and we also are quite concerned that even the national grants to Gauteng are also on the decline. And that is why I've had, since in the year that I've been in office, I've had more than 3 meetings, strategic meetings, with the vice chancellors to really say, how can the budget of higher education come in and relieve the equitable share that is used to subsidize the higher education and training, because Gauteng is the largest platform in the province, in the country, for the training of health professionals, and that it tends to encroach onto the equitable share that is earmarked for primary health care, regional, and also tertiary services. With those words, I would also like to say that our focus is also on the national framework of medical managing medical litigation. We strongly recommend that the road accident fund approach of managing the accident risk in the medical field should be adopted, so that the funds don't come from the services that are earmarked at the patients currently. We welcome the bill that is already being processed by the Justice Department on the State Liability Amendment Act in this regard, And we have also made that contribution that let the funds not come from the budget that is earmarked to look after the current patients. If you have a road accident because of a pothole and you take the money out of the budget earmarked to repair those potholes, you'll have even more potholes and more accidents. So for us as a country to prevent any risk of harm, we need to look at a more lasting solution. The State Liability Act Amendment Bill, it will provide interim relief, but we need a more comprehensive legislation like many countries have undertaken. And in this regard, we are aware of the work of the Law Reform Commission. And the work towards the realization of the NHI remains critical, and we are committed. All our work is guided by the rolling out of the experience from the pilot districts and also pilot programs. I want to thank you for your indulgence, and we will be available for the time of engagement to for any further clarity that we need to provide and areas that we need to explain what the department is doing on any other challenges. I thank you.
No, thank you, MC. I think we have agreed, honourable members, that we will listen to the presentation. We won't engage on it because of the issues that we have agreed upon. What we will do is that we will then go back to Gauteng to then reschedule, because that means you are to come back next week, which day I can't say it now. But I just want to request the MC, because we, okay, before that, Honourable Moshele, no, I was wrapping up if there is something. Okay.
No, thanks. Without entering into a discussion, because we've agreed that we're not going to engage into the discussion. But I made an observation that I think it's necessary that we must raise now. There are areas that we said must be covered which I've not seen them. One of them is the pharmaceutical management system. I didn't see it. The other one is planned patient transport. I didn't hear you saying anything. I didn't see it anyway. The other one is a referral system. I don't remember it being raised anyway. The other one, it's medical equipment. I don't remember you raising anything around that. Medicine availability. So I'm saying I've not seen those issues. They were part of the areas that were expected to be covered, but I don't remember them seeing them. I tried several times to go through the presentation. I could not find it. And then lastly, on governance and leadership, it's very scanty. Reading it, I can't understand what we want to communicate. I don't understand it. That's why I'm saying, without entering into a discussion, but it might be necessary that when they come back, they improve the presentation around those areas that they've omitted, but also included on some improvement in governance and leadership, which is very key and central. But the way how we have written it, it means it was just rush, at the 11th hour, trying to meet the deadline. the way I see it. There's no work, thorough work that has been done to it, so that the person that you're presenting must then have a better understanding on how governance and leadership is being managed in Gauteng. Yangson.
No, thank you, Honorable Mashaev. I think you have noted and we see the areas that we are referring to, Honorable Mashaev. The advice that I want to give, which I at times I always say, if you have felt that what we have been requesting, or in terms of the time that we wanted you to come in front of us, feel free, would have done that, would have saved us the challenge that we went through this afternoon of saying, phone the office of the chairperson, we are not ready, we are having these hiccups, can we reschedule? I think it would have saved all of us this situation that we find ourselves in. And I think it's important that I raise this. I will tell you after the meeting. Even your office didn't assist. In fact, I would request you before we leave, myself and the committee secretary, to refer to you on really a situation that I have never since I came in Parliament to come across. But unfortunately, it's within your office. We have got the responsibility of ensure that we support provinces, but when we support them, we'll also be critical, and there will be things that we'll have to try, because at the time we must try and avoid that embarrassment. But it can't be when we're trying to manage all those things, then there is we are from out of the frying pan into the fire. So Nzakela, before you leave the three of us, so that we're able, because it's not going to assist us in this process. We will then, at the due course, I'll try. I'm committing myself that maybe by end of tomorrow we give you the date, so that you are then able to make clean up and give us the document on time, so that all the processes that we are to engage on, we are then able to engage with those. It has been quite a very one of those unfortunate situations, taken all of us by surprise, but we've got a responsibility to lead, and we couldn't then just say pack your things and go, but we'll learn by the mistakes that we. I was told that what is important is that if you have fallen, what is important is that you stand up and you brush up and you continue. We are not going to be labeling on that, but we're going to see how best then do we ensure that we don't experience the same challenges that we have experienced. The announcement, Honourable Members, is that dinner, because of the time that we have, it couldn't then be cancelled. They have then requested that they will serve, because remember that we were then going to go beyond 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, so they have requested that dinner will be served at 5 o'clock. Please, let's attend to that. You are invited to join us, everybody who's here, so that we don't have a wasteful expenditure as the committee. Otherwise, tomorrow, I think it has been said, we are not going to have a meeting. We are then going to have meetings again next week. It will be Tuesday and a Wednesday. Having said that, MEC, just for a second.
For a second as well, can we have a mini study group meeting?
Oh, okay. So, Puma Pandit in the board, the majority don't belong.
No, MEC.
I must join a book night.